Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me again today is Brad Piron. Brad, great to have you again.
Father, again, good to be here.
Let's start with a prayer in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, we give you thanks that you have called us and have made us your sons and daughters through baptism. Help us to build our identity in you, and as we are formed by you, as we are created anew by you, send us forth on mission and give us that freedom to accept that mission through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Brad, we've been over the last couple times together talking about how you've kind of met the Lord, how you encountered the Lord.
Yeah.
Leading up to that event in Minnesota. But as we were concluding yesterday, you mentioned the, how really simultaneously to really encountering the Lord and surrendering your life to the Lord
yeah.
in that experience, in that encounter moment, you also received this sort of mission mm-hmm. to bring other people to it, which, you know, it happens. Whenever we encounter and re-encounter the Lord,
yeah.
at every encounter of the Lord in our life, there is almost always a mission attached
yeah.
to it.
Yeah, and it's so interesting where that happened, the organization it happened through, and who I serve now. And what do I mean by that? Well, it was my Damascus moment. It really was. Like, I was just knocked off my high horse of understanding my own reality and into a moment of real encounter with Jesus, that I was in St. Paul, Minnesota, right? Through St. Paul's outreach, having a Damascus moment where I'm knocked off my high horse into this reality that Jesus is not only real, but he is everything. This moment of incredible revelation led me right into saying, then this revelation needs to be accessible to everyone, right? And now I serve as the missionary program director at Damascus Catholic Mission Campus in Centerburg, and I've been doing that now for 3 years. I've been a missionary with Damascus for 5 years, which is hard to believe that it's been that long. And prior to that, I was an undergraduate student missionary with St. Paul's Outreach for 2 years. So I've been actively on mission for 7 years now. And when I think back, I can't see that encounter with Jesus without the simultaneous call to mission. It's the only way I can see it, because it's everything my life has been since that moment. And that's often what I will tell people when they ask me, I'm just not so sure I've encountered Jesus in the way that you're saying. And I'll ask them, well, what kind of mission are you living out in your life, right? With your family, with your spheres of influence, within your parish, within your school, so on and so forth. And based on that answer, you can get a really good grasp on where someone's at in their journey with the Lord. Because Jesus in and of himself is a mission, right? Jesus, his name means God saves. Jesus' mission is salvation. Jesus came to save. So too, the Christian is not merely called to mission, but is a mission. That's what Pope Francis would say, right? And I think he says that so accurately and so correctly, in the sense that we take on the name Christian. If Christ means anointed, then Christian means little anointed ones, right? I'm taking on that descriptor of Jesus, and I'm called to live out that anointing in the world. And how else could we possibly do that but through mission? So really, from that moment, August 3rd, 2014, what I found the Lord calling me to specifically was twofold: purpose for young adults and encounter for young people. I immediately thought to myself, if I had this encounter in high school, how different would all of the people that were around me be at this point, right? Like, I was immediately like, I only wish I could have experienced this sooner. And so immediately I was like, okay, we need to get young adults into mission by providing them purpose. And how do we do that? We'll make Jesus a man worth following. Sometimes we make Jesus, I don't know, a claymation doll who like hops down a yellow brick road with Valentines, you know? Like, I do. I think sometimes we give this misguided representation of Jesus And we never really steer away from that. I can see where that can embody love for a young person in their elementary years trying to learn about the love of God. But we have to transition that to a man who lived radically against the authorities of the day for the sake of God and his kingdom, and who went through a brutal execution so as to bring about our freedom. Like, that's a man worth following. That makes someone like William Wallace look, I don't know, like your average street goer. Mm-hmm. And so my number one desire from that day forward was to say, okay, if you're a young adult in the world today, you need to meet a Jesus worth following. That's where you'll find your purpose. And if you find your purpose, you'll become the perfect vehicles to bring encounter to young people. And there you have the Damascus Missionary Program in its inception, I guess.
If you're tuning in, this is Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today is Brad Piron. You know, Brad, it's interesting you at the heart, really, of what you're saying is a proper understanding of who Jesus Christ is, which is really, I often think, is the core to the new evangelization.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the problems, I would even say all of the problems in the church over the last 50 years is because of a bad Christology, false understanding of who Jesus Christ is. And I think some of it is, you know, we almost kind of demythologize Christ, but also in some ways we do kind of make him into this sort of pansy cartoon figure. I think, you know, and the thing that really struck me the last couple days, you know, we've been reading from John's gospel about the vine and the branches.
Right.
And, you know, Jesus says that, you know, he's about doing the will of his Father.
Yes.
And it's almost inseparable from who he is.
He is.
As you mentioned, you know, Jesus' identity is his mission, and his mission is his identity.
That's
and they're
right.
They're inseparable.
That's
from
right.
Each other.
And if the church doesn't have mission, a community without mission might as well be a corner bar.
Mm-hmm.
It might as well be a country club.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the church is a community for the sake of mission, right? Like, I'm a person for the sake of mission, and I love the vine and the branches. That was actually the gospel that my wife and I chose on our wedding day eight months ago, and it's been so transformative in my life, that precise gospel. Well, really, all of those, 13, 14, 15, mm-hmm. 16, 17, those five chapters in John are phenomenal. And they all point to exactly what you're saying, that, like, mission is pivotal, to lay down my life. You know, the moment that we make Jesus the means and not the end is the moment we've messed it up.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that in the church all of the time. I'll go around and preach to young people that vocation-centered Christianity is self-worship. Why? Because I become the end. Jesus is the means by which I achieve the end of my satisfaction. My satisfaction as a priest, a religious, or a married person.
Yeah.
No. All of those are means by which I achieve the end that is Jesus, right? And now, are they the greatest means by which I achieve that end? Of course. I would not refute that for a second. But the moment that vocation, or anything else for that matter, takes its place at the center of our Christianity over Christ himself, we have something backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And when we put Jesus back in the center, he draws us into himself, which in fact draws us into mission, because exactly what you're saying, he is in and of himself salvation.
Yeah, one of the things and this is, you know, more to spur on our listeners.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the things I like to sit back and do when I have to listen to other people preach is how many times they mention Jesus Christ in their homily.
Yes.
And you know, and you should count how many times your priest or your deacon or whoever else mentions Jesus Christ. And if it's not a whole bunch of times, then there's a real problem.
Yeah.
Because I think at times you preach to me for 22 minutes. Now I'll preach to you.
So. Yeah, no. I love it.
But also how there, it's almost this sense where we don't really believe Jesus is divine.
Yeah.
Or, you know, there was just this article by that Thomas Reese, who's this Jesuit, that, you know, that we gather at Mass not to worship Jesus, but to just worship the Father with Jesus. Well, that's parsing. I mean, you know, you know, they're one God.
We're in
dangerous
waters,
you know, like this.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, people.
Yes, that's right. Right. Well, and Jesus, if we're talking about the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He doesn't say a way, a truth, and a life. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And I say this a lot in my preachings, but if Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, then if we don't know Jesus, we are lost, lied to, and lifeless.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't know the way, I'm lost. If I don't know the truth, I'm lied to. If I don't know the life, I'm lifeless. And when you look at the world today, would it be true, at least slightly, that we're lost, lied to, and lifeless? I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think so, and that's a direct correlative to everything that we're saying, that when Jesus is removed from the center, you remove the very essence of the faith, right? Again, Jesus came to reveal the Father. And then in Jesus's plan for salvation was never to like be like you and me on this radio show right now. It was to come, to die, to rise, to ascend, to send the Holy Spirit, that we would become him for the sake of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our Eastern brethren say theosis, we say divinization and deification, that my call in my life and all of our calls in our life, our call is not to just be like Jesus. It's to be Jesus for the sake of the world.
Remain in him as he remains in us.
Amen.
Until next time, peace and all good.